Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call on this Valentine's Day, Saturday, February 14th, 2009, 10 o'clock in the a.m. And one guy right now that's not getting much love, Alex Rodriguez, who is now is a part of the biggest sports story up until this point of 2009. Just hours, and I mean within an hour, just a couple hours after last week's program, Alex Rodriguez was exposed for taking two anabolic steroids. Of course, you had the Primobolan, and also testosterone. So Selena Roberts of Sports Illustrated went up to A-Rod that previous Thursday in the University of Miami weight room where A-Rod, of course, works out in the off season. You know, asked him, have you heard about these tests? Blah, 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 no comment. I'll talk to the union. A day and a half later, of course, Alex Rodriguez is, doing a mea culpa on ESPN with one Peter Gammons. And, listen, I cannot say that I'm shocked by this. When you look back on it, he was on a team, in his Texas Rangers days from he played for the Rangers from 01 to 03. From 01 to 03. He was on a team with Rafael Palmeiro, Randy Velarde, Ivan Rodriguez. So, that all those guys have been connected in some ways to using steroids. Only reason why that his name really wasn't brought up amongst media circles was probably from the fact that physically his body really hadn't changed, and it makes perfect sense considering that Primobolan, one of the steroids that A-Rod tested positive for, is a steroid that doesn't bulk you up, i.e. Barry Bonds. It's a steroid that develops lean muscle and really is about tone. You get stronger, but it's about tone more than anything. So his weight and his physicality did not change whatsoever from that. And I'm sure that was one of the factors in him taking that steroid. And taking that particular steroid is also a difficult steroid to test, to turn up positive after a certain amount of time. That's why a lot of players have been taking that up recently, taking that particular steroid compared to the other steroids that they were taking earlier on when this thing really got started with guys juicing up. As far as the ESPN interview goes, I have all the respect in the world for Peter Gammons. He asked very good questions, but A-Rod. Listen, Gammons, A-Rod didn't know what he was taking. If you're going to be honest and go put yourself out there, do it 100%. Don't be 80% honest. Don't be 70% honest. Excuse me. Don't be 60% honest. Just put it all out there. How can you not know what you were taking? How can you not know where it was coming, where it came from? And how could you not know who introduced you to the steroids? I mean, you're a world-class athlete. Somebody, if I'm in a club, somebody gives me a drink, I don't care if it's my brother. I want to, what is in this? Is it Coke? Is it rum? Is it vodka? What is this? Let alone if I'm a world-class athlete and I'm injecting something, or is this a vitamin? What is this exactly? A-Rod, and you can't be that naive. He can't be that naive. I can't believe in the world that Alex Rodriguez is not could just take something without asking about it, without inquiring about it, unless he just didn't want to know. Did he ask the question, hey, if I take this, will it come up positive in a drug test? That's the part I just can't. A-Rod lost me. When Peter Gammons asked those three particular questions, here's what Gammons says. I have the transcript right in front of me. Here's Gammons. What kind of substances were you taking? Here's what Alex Rodriguez's comment. Peter, that's the thing. Again, it was such a loosey-goosey era. Okay, that doesn't exactly answer the question. Here's another Gammons question where A-Rod was just ducking for cover. Where did you originally get the substance? Again, at the time, you had nutritionists, you had doctors, you had trainers. that's the right question today. Where did you get it? We're in the era of Balco. Again, he's not saying anything. Where did you originally get the substance? And here's the last one that just, you know, that just drove me crazy when he was not only reading this transcript but also watching it in person. Let's go. Here's Gammons. Let's go back. How were you introduced to these substances? Was it at the gym? Was it from other players? Here's A-Rod's comment. The culture, it was pretty prevalent. There were a lot of people doing it, doing a lot of things. There was a lot of gray area. We, A-Rod, wake up. We know there was a lot of people using steroids. Hello? Okay, we understand that. That's why there's 104 names on the list that tested positive back in the test that was taken in 2003. I understand that. We know this. I mean, come on, Aaron. I have a phone call that we'll get to. I have a lot to get to, but we'll take this phone call. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, how you doing today?
Pretty good. Hey, I just wanted to say, don't you think that A-Rod felt that he wanted to go the route of people like Andy Pettit and Jason Giambi, where you come out and you admit it, and maybe people will give you a pass and move on, because those who didn't, the Clemens and the Bonds, are still under investigation. People are still talking about them. Even though I think he was stupid in doing that, he only gave half truths, and then he was hoping everything would go away.
Right, right. Well, yeah, you make a very good point. He was trying to go that Jason Giambi / that kind of route. The problem with it is he had too many holes in, you know, during that interview with Peter Gammons, especially. Now, it's one thing to watch the interview, but it's another thing to get the transcripts. I would definitely recommend getting the transcripts, because when you read it, you know, word for word, page by page, you really are able to pick it apart, and there were just too many holes in it. I mean, I just can't. Like, when I was going over it, it just boggled my mind when I was reading it as a comparison to watching it. But he definitely was hoping that him apologizing would kind of, you know, we are a forgiving society as far as our, you know, the sports heroes, if you even want to call them that. But the problem with A-Rod is everybody in their right mind knows that he had to apologize. He had no choice. This wasn't I'm apologizing just because, you know, I'm trying to revamp my image. But he had no choice but to come out and apologize. The longer he would have let this pass on, he would have got killed in the media, especially in New York City. So that's the thing that kind of takes some steam off it, the fact that you know, in your heart of hearts, if you have any sense as a sports fan, that he had to come out and admit to this. There was no way around it. I mean, they had positive tests. You had two reporters who had been working on this story from Sports Illustrated forever, so they had all their information lined up. So he was in that position where he just had no choice but to come out and admit the truth. And he comes out, and he did himself worse by admitting, like you said, admitting half the truth, 50-60% of the truth.
I think the one thing you read and that he said that really stuck me as weird was the fact that he didn't know what he put in his body. I mean, that just doesn't make sense. You should know what you put in your body. I think he had the same advice or attorney that Bill Clinton does. He just doesn't remember.
Probably. Maybe so. I mean, you go to a restaurant and you see a food that you're not recognizing. You go, the first thing that comes to your mind, just out of natural, just is, what is this? You know, what's in it? What is it made of? It's just a natural reaction. It's not being, you know, anal. It's just like you. I mean, it's human nature. So that's just a bunch of garbage. Him saying not knowing what he put in his body, especially, you know, the bottom line is he didn't feel like there was any chance that, number one, that this list would come out, or any chance that he would get caught. That's the bottom. And all these guys, Bonds, Giambi, whoever, McGuire, whoever you want, Palmeiro. They never believed that they ever were going to get caught, because baseball and the media, which I will get to later, turned a blind eye towards this. And baseball has been ignoring this for almost 22 years.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Good work.
All right, you have a good morning.
All right.
And that's the bottom line. You know, baseball turned a blind eye to this, and guys just didn't feel like they, you know, will ever get caught. And A-Rod is no different. He's no different from any other guys that tried to use this without the fear of getting caught. Period. And one other thing I have to get to as far as that interview goes. And Gammons asked him this question. Gene Orza, who is one of the heads of the Baseball Players Association, Gammons asked the question. Gene Orza didn't tell you that there was a report that says he. Gene Orza didn't tell you that there was a report that you know told him that all the players about all the players who had failed drug tests in 2003. And there was rumors, and certainly rumors that ran rapid that Orza tipped off A-Rod in 2004. A-Rod comes out and says that Gene Orza went to him, you know, said to him, your name might or might not be on the list. I mean, A-Rod, which is it? Are you on the list? If I'm Alex Rodriguez and Gene Orza comes up to me and says, hey, you may or may not be on this. I'm saying, Gene, which is it? Am I on the list or am I not on the list? You're going to tell me you don't know. I mean, this is Alex Rodriguez. This is not Joe Blow. This is not, you know, Eric Miller, a guy that we don't know. This guy's the biggest star in the sport of baseball. You have to know. Why do you think his name came out here first? Think about it. Out of the non-Balco players that were on the list, why do you think this guy's name? Why do you think his name leaked first out of those 104 players? Because he's uno number one as a star, and as a, you know, chasing the home run record. So, you know, that was another thing that bothered me, that the fact that A-Rod didn't go after Orza as far as, you know, telling him, asking him, hey, am I on the list or not on the list? You kind of say, well, okay, I assume I'm not on the list. If you don't come out here and concretely tell me I'm on the list, then I'm going to assume that I'm not on there. So that didn't make much sense either. Here's the thing. That apology that A-Rod had, basically, I'm not going to say it didn't mean anything. It helps him out a little bit. But for the long term, this guy is in the prime of his career. He's going to have to live with this day in, day out in the biggest media market in the world, in New York City. His record, if he breaks Boz's record, stays healthy, which he's certainly on pace to do, it means absolutely nothing. If I'm a Hall of Fame voter, and again, I will get to this in the next segment, he's not getting to the Hall of Fame. Listen, if you don't want to let Boz in the Hall of Fame, if you're not putting McGuire in the Hall of Fame, you're not putting Sosa in the Hall of Fame, I'm not putting A-Rod in the Hall of Fame. So he falls under that category as being a guy who's been tainted, who's tainted the sport and has tainted his career with his use of steroids. Still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, we have a lot to get through. We're not done with this, certainly. We're not done with this. But we also have some NBA All-Star break is coming up, is upon us. You had the rookie sophomore game last night and some, you know, of course, the All-Star festivities this tonight with the slam dunk contest and three-point shootout. Also, top stories, and March Madness. That is still to come, and much, much more on the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, Valentine's Day edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. 12 minutes after the 10 o'clock hour, here's the update. The NBA rookies sophomores defeated the NBA rookies 122-116, not much closer than what these games have been in the past. Normally the sophomores destroy the rookies, but a very entertaining game. Kevin Durant, who quietly is having, I know the team stinks, Oklahoma City's a joke, but he is quietly having an excellent year. Scored a record 46 points for that game as he led the sophomores to the victory. The government had claims to have four witnesses who are set to testify against Barry Bonds. They include Bobby Atalaya, ex-girlfriend Kim Bell, Kathy Hawkins, who, by the way, is the sister of one Steve Hoskins, who was a Bonds' former business manager. Kathy Hawkins is Bonds' former personal assistant and claims that she saw Greg Anderson inject Barry Bonds with steroids. You know, listen, until the name Greg Anderson appears on this list as the people who are going to testify against Barry Bonds, I can't take this seriously. I mean, how coincidental does it look when one week your brother claims that he wants to testify, and then a week later you claim that you want to testify? Come on. I mean, where was Kathy Hawkins last week? Where was Kathy Hawkins a couple years ago? The government has been all over the place with this case. They're doing an awful job with this, and Bonds is lighting them up. Bonds and his lawyer team are just beating them to a pulp with this. West Virginia upsets number 13 Villanova 93-72, led by Deshaun Butler's career high 43 points. Big win for West Virginia as they are right on that bubble. They even their record in the within the Big East at 6-6. They are 17-8 overall. NBA announces Hall of Fame finalists, led by, of course, his heiress, Michael Jordan. David Robson and John Stockton. They headed a list of 16 finalists that will be announced April 6th at the Final Four. A lot of great names on that list. I mean, guys like Don Nelson, Jerry Sloan's on that list, Steve Vivian Stringer. So that will be a big time list of names that go into the Hall of Fame come this April. Still to come, we'll examine the differences between Bonds versus A-Rod and why Barry Bonds is not Alex Rodriguez as far as the Hall of Fame goes. That's still to come on the Saturday morning wake-up call. And again, Barry Bonds versus Alex Rodriguez. And, of course, baseball had hoped that A-Rod would break this record, break Bonds' record, and eliminate that Bonds left in the mouths of all baseball fans around the country, around the world, of holding the most hallowed record in all the sports. And as a home run record, that certainly will not be the case at this point. And I'm telling you, when you look at it, as far as the Hall of Fame goes, when it comes to Bonds and A-Rod, I can make a strong case. I'm looking at A-Rod's numbers before the alleged steroid use. Before the steroid use in 2001. He claimed that he admits to 2001 to 2003. Who knows? He might have used before that. He might have used it after that. You cannot completely trust what A-Rod says at this point. But those are the years that he definitely admits to using, 01 to 03. And in those 3 years, from 01 to 03, Alex Rodriguez had three of the four best years he's ever had in his career. The best year he's had in his career came in 2007 when he had, you know, the 57 home runs, over 150 so RBIs, and won the MVP. But you look at his numbers from 96 to 2000. Again, he was putting up big time numbers, averaging almost 37 home runs a year. Had 574 RBI during that time period. Was putting up, as shortstop, was putting up just all numbers that no shortstop had ever put up in the history of baseball. But if you take away what he did after that, as far as those three big years he had, he's not a Hall of Famer. Because when you compare it to Barry Bonds, Bonds and legendary when you started around 99-2000. Look what Bonds did from 86 to 99. He won three MVPs. He was the best player in the sport, hands down. He did 30-30. He did 40-40 in a year. You know, he had years where he hit 40 home runs. He had years where he had 120-plus RBIs. On-base percentage was great. So, Bonds was stealing bases. Bonds was a Hall of Famer. Before all this jumped off with the steroid use, Bonds was already a Hall of Fame player. That's why if I had a vote, I would put Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame based on that fact that he didn't. I don't think he needed steroids to make him a Hall of Fame player. Now, did he need steroids to make him an immortal player, i.e., Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, Babe Ruth, Ted Williams, just to name a few? Absolutely. But he would have been an all-time great. He would have been a top 15, top 20 player without the steroids. Can't say that about Alex Rodriguez. His numbers just, he didn't have enough great, he hadn't accumulated enough great years to be, to get to that point. He had five great years, but after those five great years, that's when he started using the steroids. So from that standpoint, I don't see how Alex Rodriguez gets in the Hall of Fame, even him admitting to using steroids. Because people say, I mentioned it with the caller, people are going to say, hey, the only reason you admitted, the savvy sports fan and the media, definitely the media member, the only reason you admitted to use it is because you had to use it. You had to admit it. It's not like A-Rod came out in 2002 or 2004 and said, hey, I used steroids when nobody suspected him of using it. I used steroids and, I made a mistake and so on and so on. Now, he admitted this when he didn't have to. The perspective of this would have totally changed. But him admitting to it when he had to, it does not add any credibility towards what he said at all. So he's not in the Hall of Fame. I wouldn't put him in the Hall of Fame. I'm a writer, and those writers are very stubborn. I don't think he'll get in the Hall of Fame. I really don't. I don't think that he will. I don't think he'll get in there. I don't think Bonds will get in there. Sosa, anybody who has any link whatsoever to the steroid era. I don't think they'll see the Hall of Fame. And the question about going back to this list, you know, you got 104 names on this list. The question is now, who are those other 103 names? And when will they drop? You would have to think that Alex Rodriguez is, you know, that those names will be coming soon, sooner than later. Still to come on the Saturday morning wake-up call, we'll look at the NBA All-Star. We'll look at the NBA first half, look ahead to the second half, talk about the All-Star, talk about the trading deadline. You had a trade yesterday between Miami and Toronto. We'll talk about that. We'll also continue our profile of Black History Month. On Black History Month, we have one famous track star who's definitely one of the all-time greats in his particular sport. We'll profile him, and we'll get the top stories. That's still to come, and much, much more on the Saturday morning wake-up call. For our question of the week, not question of the week, a question of the morning, we're going to have a little fun here. I mean, it can't be. It's not going to be all sports. In honoring Valentine's Day, and I thought about this last night, but I questioned whether I should do it. I'm going to do it anyway. What is your worst Valentine's story? Now, listen. Keep it clean. Please keep it clean. But keep it clean, number one. And number two, I don't want any relationships to get broken up over what something that might be said on Blog Talk Radio. So give me your Valentine's story. I don't want to hear any mushy stuff, you know. It has no interest to it. I don't want to hear mushy stuff. But give me a negative Valentine's Day. Give me a Griswold Valentine's Day. You know, you go watch National Lampoon's. There's nothing. It's not rated R or anything like that. It's funny. It's funny. It can be funny. And at the end of the day, everybody's smiling. Give me that. I don't want to hear about any breakups or any sob stories. At the same time, I don't want to hear any mushy stuff or, you know, he bought me this, she bought me that. That stuff is boring. Who cares? I shouldn't say who cares. But again, keep it clean. You can discuss that as well as what's going on also in the world of sports. Coming up after the update, we'll get into the NBA. The NBA has reached its halfway point. Well, it's past the halfway point as far as games played, but they have reached the All-Star break. Of course, the game will take place on Sunday night in Phoenix, the land of the sun. So that'll be coming up, and much, much more on the Saturday morning wake-up call. Update: the sophomores defeat the rookies 122-116. Kevin Durant sets a rookie sophomore game record by scoring 46 points. And was voted, of course, MVP of the game. The government claims to have at least four witnesses who are set to testify against one home run king, Barry Bonds, Bobby Estrella, ex-girlfriend Kim Bell, Kathy Hoskins, and, of course, her brother, Steve Hoskins, are all set to testify. And also, the government is looking to get some ex-players who are trying to discredit one Greg Anderson. Those names like Jason Giambi and also Marvin Bernard, who was a former teammate of one of Barry Bonds back in the when he played for San Francisco. West Virginia upsets number 13 Villanova 93-72. Deshaun Butler goes crazy, 43 points, a career high, keeps West Virginia alive to make the NCAA tournament. West Virginia now, that is a huge win. I mean, I know it was at home, but that's a big time win for West Virginia. Villanova have been playing well. West Virginia now goes to 17-8 overall, 6-6 in that rugged and brutal Big East conference. So they will definitely be leaning towards making the NCAA tournament with wins like that. The NBA announced its 16 finalists for the Nation's Basketball Hall of Fame that will take place. The final announcement, of course, will take place April 6th at the Final Four in Detroit, Michigan. And Michael Jordan leads the way along with locks. For Hall of Fame locks, David Robinson, John Stockton, and just to name a few. You also have C. Vivian Stringer on that list, Don Nelson, Jerry Sloan, also Dennis Johnson, I believe, is on that list. That's a big-time list for the NBA, for the Basketball Hall of Fame. Of course, still to come, we have the NBA at the All-Star break. We'll examine what teams will need to make them title contenders or to put them over the top And also March Madness. A lot went on in the world of college basketball this weekend, this week especially on Tobacco Road. 347-215-6180 is your call number. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Chime in on the Saturday morning wake up call, 25 minutes after the 10 o'clock hour. The NBA All Star, of course, is upon us, and as we stand here, just a day away from the All Star game, you see the Lakers, Boston, Cleveland. Lakers, Boston, Cleveland have the three best records in the league. There are certainly rumors that two of them, three of them, will make trades to try and improve their ball clubs. One trade that was made yesterday afternoon. Toronto gets Sean Marion and Marcus Banks from Miami. In return, Miami will get Jermaine O'Neal and Jamarial Moon. This was a deal clearly dictated by the salary cap and expiring contracts. Understand this, Sean Marion's deal is up after this year, so Toronto will have some salary cap flexibility in 2009. Salary cap flexibility in 2009. They number one, and number two, they get rid of Jermaine O'Neal's contract, which still has a year this year left on, of course next year where he will get $23 million. Now, from Miami's perspective, they see it like this: hey, what's the use of us having salary cap flexibility in 2009 when the big class is coming in 2010 and we still have to re-sign Dwayne Wade? So, it doesn't matter what Jermaine O'Neal does for Miami. I don't think Miami believes that they can win a championship or be a factor with him anyway, or be a major factor. If he's healthy and if he reverts back to what he once was as one of the top power forwards or centers in the league and Eastern Conference, then that'd be gravy. But if he doesn't, if he's injured, if he's playing inconsistent, then so be it. His contract will be off the books after the 2009-2010 season, and Miami will have a ton of money to throw at Dwayne Wade and another prospective free agent, whether it be Chris Bosh, Carlos Boozer, LeBron James, or whoever. So that's what this deal was all about, expiring contracts. When you look at these deals, people, look at the expiring contracts. You want to know how the Lakers got Paul Gasol last year from Memphis? Kwame Brown had an expiring contract. My Memphis wanted a dump salary. Therefore, the Lakers end up with Paul Gasol. It's just that simple. So that deal gets made. As far as the big four, I should say the big three, and also to a certain extent the big four goes, Lakers, Boston, Cleveland, San Antonio. I would say Boston, Cleveland, San Antonio, in order to win a championship, I think have to make a move. I mean, Boston clearly needs to deepen that bench. They are very thin on that bench. And it was exposed last week, not this past week, but the week before last, in losing to the Lakers and also losing to San Antonio and losing to San Antonio Sunday. That was the difference in the game. San Antonio came off the bench with guys like George Hill. Forget about Ginobili. He's not a bench player. He just happens to be a six-man. We all know he's a starter who just happens to come off the bench. But guys like George Hill, those guys really hurt them in that game. And Boston, that bench is very thin. They don't have guys like James Posey, who made big shots, T.J. Brown, who made big shots against Cleveland in that game 7 victory last year's playoffs. They have to add to the bench. I mean, there have been talks of Joe Smith, Stephon Marbury, just to name a few. As far as Cleveland goes, it's going to be very interesting to see what Cleveland does. They have an expired contract in terms of Wally Szczerbiak that they can dangle in front of teams, and they are one of two teams who are rumored to be going to be pushing strong for one Amari Stoudemire, who, by the way, will be traded. Phoenix is trying to totally just rebuild their operation. They don't care about – it's not about winning anymore as far as for the short term. They're looking long term. They're trying to move Shaq. They're trying to move Stoudemire. If a great deal comes up for Steve Nash, I wouldn't be surprised if he would move. Phoenix is in a complete overhaul mode right now. But as far as Stoudemire is concerned, Chicago probably has the best chance to get him, as far as they have an expiring contract with Drew Gooden that they can offer, and also a good and up and coming young player in Tyrus Thomas. Tyrus Thomas has played very well. He's only 22 years old. He's finally starting to show some of that potential that you saw coming out of college back in 2006 when he was drafted, I believe, with the number 3 pick, or the second. He was, I believe, was the second or third pick in that draft. So they can offer that. Cleveland, of course, can offer Wally Zerbiak's expiring contract, and also Eric Snow, who does an excellent job on NBA TV, his expiring contract as well. So, and there also has been rumors, and I wouldn't read too much into this because based on how he's been playing lately, that the Lakers would be willing to part with Lamar Odom for one Amar'e Stoudemire. I don't see that happening. Now, you know, if you're Phoenix, you would do the deal in a heartbeat because, again, Lamar Odom's deal is up after this year. That money, that $13, $14 million will be off your books, and you would have gotten rid of Stoudemire. But the Lakers, based on the way Lamar Odom has been playing the last 4 or 5 games, he's had some big-time rebounding and scoring games. They're not going to part ways with Lamar Odom. This is a team that the Lakers, this is a team that the Lakers are going to ride or die with, and they're going to hope that Andrew Bynum comes back. They also might try to make a move for Joe Smith. They're going to be battling the Celtics to try to possibly get Joe Smith to add some front court depth, you know, just in case Andrew Bynum is not able to come back, or even if he does come back, you can never have enough quality big men in the NBA. As far as the MVP race goes, it's very close right now. I mean, it's extreme. I still have to give the edge to LeBron James. LeBron James has been dominant over the course of throughout from day one as far as the season goes. Kobe Bryant kind of worked himself into the season. So I would go LeBron 1, Kobe Bryant 1A as far as the MVP race goes. But Kobe is closing fast. And I'll tell you this, if the Los Angeles Lakers finish with the best record in basketball, Kobe Bryant's the MVP. Andrew Bynum would have been out basically 2 or 3 months. And he's also the reigning MVP. So I will say that if that is the case, Kobe Bryant will, in my book, definitely has to be MVP. But that's if the Lakers finish with the best record. We still have remains to be seen how they will play over the long term without Andrew Bynum and with a bunch of road games on their schedule. Look at the NBA standings right now. Eastern Conference. Listen, Boston and Cleveland are going to be one. Boston and Cleveland and Orlando are going to be 1, 2, and 3. 1, 2, and 3. And probably Atlanta. I think the first 4 spots are basically locks. Boston, Cleveland, Orlando are going to be the top 4 seeds. Listen, if you're Cleveland, you better get home court advantage. I would have more confidence in Boston going to Cleveland and winning a game 7 than I would Cleveland going to Boston and winning a game 7. Boston has already won a championship. They're a veteran group. Cleveland still has to prove that they can get to that championship kind of level. They're still trying to climb that mountain. So Cleveland better get home court advantage. That's all there is to it. They better get home court advantage. And it is very important for them to get home court advantage against Boston, also possibly against the Lakers, if they were to meet them in the NBA Finals. As far as the Western Conference goes, you know, you have the Lakers, San Antonio, Denver, Portland, Houston. I mean, after you get to – Lakers have a 6.5 game lead, and despite Andrew Bynum's injury, I don't see the Lakers losing that number one spot. But you go from 2 to 7, there's only about 4.5 games separate the number 2 team in San Antonio to the number 7 team in Dallas. The team to keep your eye on, there are two teams – there's one team I would keep my eye on, and that's the Utah Jazz. Utah currently is in the 8th spot. They had a big win against the Lakers on Wednesday night. On Wednesday night, a very good game. Very good game. Romero Core hit a big shot to kind of put that game away. Right now, Utah is 30-23. They're only a game and a half out of the number 7 spot, and they have done this without, mind you, Deron Williams has been injured. He's been playing great of late, by the way. But they've been out. Carlos Boozer and Andre Kirilenko, both of those guys will be back soon and very soon. I can see Utah not only getting out of that 8th spot, but I can see them challenging Denver for the division. I definitely could see that. I say Utah will move up at least minimum to the number four spot. I think they'll pass Dallas, New Orleans, Houston, and Portland and get up to that number four spot and challenge Denver for that number three spot. Watch out for Utah. Watch them to make a big push in the second half. Because they are a very, very talented team. Jerry Sloan has done a tremendous job. If you want to talk about possible coach of the year, Jerry Sloan has done, I mean, with the injuries that they've had, playing, I know the Western Conference is not as strong as it once was, but still, I mean, they've been, you know, he and Rick Allman have done just virtuoso jobs coaching. Rick Allman had to deal with McGrady always being injured, Artest being injured, you know, as well as his personality. So Allman has done a tremendous job. Keep your eyes also a couple guys that might be traded as well. Vince Carter possibly. You know, New Jersey certainly wants to get rid of that contract, having 4 years left on it at about $15, $16 million a year. And Tracy McGrady, I think Houston has had enough with McGrady, the injuries, the inconsistency, never got out of the first round. If they can move Tracy McGrady or Ryan, I'm surprised, or Ryan Artest, they may not move both of them at the same time. But one of those guys, I would not be shocked if one of those guys were moved, either it'd be Artest or McGrady. So definitely keep your eyes on that. I don't expect that Rasheed Wallace will be moved. I think Detroit will allow his contract. Detroit has $37 million of expiring contracts coming off the books between Iverson and Wallace, so I think they will let that run off and look to build towards the future in 2009, 2010, and beyond. So there you go. With the NBA, with the All-Star game should be entertaining. It always is for the most part, especially when you have Kobe on one side and LeBron on the other. So it should be a pretty good game, and I'm looking forward to it. Still to come on the Saturday morning wake-up call, with just a little bit more than 36 minutes past the 10 o'clock hour, we'll have our profile in Black History. We'll also have March Madness and Top Stories of the Week. That's still to come. And much, much more on the Saturday morning wake-up call. 347-215-6180 is your number. Phone number to call in, 347-215-6180. Sophomores defeat the rookies in the NBA. In the NBA sophomore rookie game, 122-116. Kevin Durant scores a game record, a rookie sophomore record, 46 points. The government claims to have four witnesses who are set to testify against one Barry Bonds. They include former player and teammate Bobby Asalea, ex-girlfriend Kim Bell, ex-former personal assistant Kathy Hoskins, also brother Steve Hoskins, who is Bonds' former business manager. West Virginia upsets number 13 Villanova 93-72. Deshaun Butler scores 43 points as West Virginia gets a big win and keeps alive their tournament hopes. Their hopes to make an NCAA tournament. And the NBA announces its 16 finalists for the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. That will take final announcement will come in April 6th at this year's Final Four in Detroit, Michigan. The list is headed by Michael Jordan, David Robinson, John Stockton, just to name a few. Also on that list, you have Vivian Stringer, Jerry Sloan, and Don Nelson as well. So still to come, we have March Madness. We have March Madness profiles in Black History Month, and also top stories of the week. Also, the question of the morning: give me a Valentine's Day to forget, male or female, whoever wants to call in. Give me a Valentine. I would like your Valentine's Day to forget, or night to forget. Keep it clean and no mushy stuff. So I know I'm asking a lot. I'm asking you to kind of try to straddle a fence. We don't want to crush or break up any relationships. And Valentine's Day is a famous holiday, not holiday, but it's a famous day for relationships to get broken up. So that is the question of the morning. March Madness. Today, of course, you had a big matchup this past Wednesday on Tobacco Road where North Carolina Tar Heels defeated the Duke Blue Devils 101-87. This game had all the makings of a classic the first 30 minutes. And, you know, it was like, again, the game was nip and tuck throughout. Duke played a great first half, shot the lights out from three-point range, was up by eight. But there was a point at about the 11:59 mark where North Carolina just kicked it into an extra gear. I mean, it was like you see two cars racing, and one car just has that, you know, that gear where you just go fast, faster. And North Carolina was, for the last, you know, 11 minutes, 12 minutes of that game, North Carolina was that fast mode. Ty Lawson had a big second half, scoring 21 of his 25 points. North Carolina continues to own Duke. They've beaten Duke now four straight times at Cameron Indoor Arena. That hasn't happened. You got to go back to the Reagan administration for the last time that happened. Danny Green and Tyler Hansborough finished their careers undefeated in Cameron Indoor, at Cameron Indoor Stadium. Duke, again, Duke, and I've said this, and I've said this repeatedly, they get exposed. They get exposed for, you know, for that live by three, die by three. They shot it well in the first half, played great. Second half, did not shoot it well. They ended up 8-for-24 from three-point range. With the win, North Carolina now goes to 22-2 on the season and takes sole possession of the ACC at 8-2. Duke falls to 7-3. In other college basketball news, of course, you had UConn losing Jerome Dyson to a torn lateral meniscus in the knee. He's done for the year. That is a big loss for Connecticut. I mean, Connecticut have been playing great. They're the number one team in the country. They're deep in the front court, but they are not deep at the guard position. I mean, they have Craig Austrey, you know, AJ Price. They are not that deep. That is a tough loss. Dyson is one of the best defensive players on the perimeter. He also is a guy who will get you 13 to 14 points a game. That could be their chance at a national championship, that with that particular loss. Especially with a big game coming up on Monday against Pittsburgh, who is currently ranked number four and is as physical as there is in the Big East or in the country. That could be for the Big East championship. A couple games of note today. Georgetown takes on Syracuse at Syracuse. Must win for Georgetown. Georgetown has been awful of late, lost six of their last seven games. They are 13-9, 6-7 in the conference. If they want any hopes of making the NCAA tournament, they have to win this game, or they will be looking at a NIT appearance. Also, you have a pretty good game. Florida State travels down to take on Wake Forest. Wake Forest is not playing well right now. They've lost three out of the last five games. Lost earlier this week, of course, to North Carolina State. And they really have fallen on hard times. I mean, they had two great wins over Duke and North Carolina at home. But again, the ACC is just brutal. I mean, you look at Duke, Clemson, and Florida State, even at the bottom, have teams like Virginia Tech, BC. I mean, they are not. Miami and Florida is a pretty good team. So the ACC is by far and away probably the second best conference behind the Big East, the second best conference. I think the ACC can go toe to toe with the Big East myself. I know everybody wants to anoint the Big East by far and away being the best conference. I don't think so. I think the ACC is right there with the Big East, conference as being the nation's best conferences. But that is a key game for Wake Forest to regain some confidence. Still to come on a Saturday morning wake up call. We'll have our profiles in Black History. That's coming up. Also, top stories, closing thoughts. That's still to come on a Saturday morning. On a Saturday morning wake up call. 347-215-6180 is your call number. 347-215-6180. In the NBA rookie sophomore game, the sophomores defeat the rookies 122-116. Kevin Durant scores 46 points, which is an NBA sophomore rookie game record. The government claims to have four witnesses who are set to testify against Barry Bonds. They include Bobby Estrella, ex-girlfriend Kim Bell, Kathy Hoskins, Bonds' former personal assistant, and brother Steve Hoskins, Bonds' former business manager, who is, by the way, the brother of one Kathy Hoskins. West Virginia upsets number 13, Villanova 93-72. Deshaun Butler scores a career-high 43 points. Big win for West Virginia as they keep their NCAA tournament hopes alive. The NBA announced its 16 finalists for the Nations Basketball Hall of Fame. They include a star-studded list, which includes Michael Jordan, David Robinson, John Stockton. And John Stockton were all locks to make it. I mean, why even have a ceremony? You also will have on that list C. Vivian Stringer, Don Nelson, and Dennis Johnson and Jerry Sloan. So that is a big time list of future Hall of Fame, possible future Hall of Famers. The announcement will take place. The final announcement will take place on April 6th in Detroit, Michigan, at the Final Four. This profile in Black history, brings us to one Jesse Owens, who in the 1936 Berlin Olympics became the first American to win four gold medals in track and field. He did it, of course, right in front of Hitler. Hitler, who of course thought that that athletes of the Aryan, of the white and Aryan race, were superior to black American athletes, and was completely showed up by one Jesse Owens. And you look at Jesse Owens again; he's one of the all-time greats as far as not only track and field, but as far as Olympians. Period. What he did at Ohio State might have been even more impressive. In 1935, he set three world records in a span of 45 minutes, and tied a fourth world record, and tied a fourth one with at the long jump. He was a world class sprinter. He was also a tremendous in terms of the long jump, he's the only man to win both gold medals in the 100 meters in sprinting and also the long jump. And only to be matched by one Carl Lewis back in 1984, when Carl Lewis won both gold medals in the 100 meters, and also in the long jump as well. He also was the first African American man to have a shoe deal. I definitely didn't know this with Adidas. A couple of things that you didn't like when I was digging for this was the fact that he was never acknowledged by then President Franklin Delano Roosevelt or Harry S. Truman for what he accomplished in the Berlin Olympics. It wasn't until 1955, 19 years later, when Dwight Eisenhower called him an ambassador of sports. Out of all the great things that FDR did, To not acknowledge Jesse Owens with a trip to the White House or even a phone call is just an absolute disgrace, and that's certainly something not to be proud of. I'm sure that the American people and sports people certainly didn't like that, and I wonder how much was that brought up by media people back then. But again, we're talking 1936, race relations and, different time, different period, but it's still something that is absolute disgrace. So that is our profile in Black history. Jesse Owens, again, one of the great Olympians and athletes one of the great Olympic athletes of all time. Four gold medals speak for themselves. Still to come on the Saturday morning wake-up call, we have top stories, another retirement for Brett. Will this be it? And The Definition of Stupidity by a ex-girlfriend of a possible future Hall of Fame baseball player. Closing thoughts. I will give my closing thoughts on the steroids and Major League Baseball. So that is still to come on this Saturday morning wake-up call. 48 minutes after the hour, chime in at 347-215-6180, 347-215-6180. The sophomores defeat the rookies in the annual sophomore rookie game, 122-116. Kevin Durant breaks a scoring record with 46 points as he leads the sophomores to a very close victory. They normally blow the rookies out, but that obviously was a very competitive game. The government claims to have four witnesses who are set to testify against one Barry Bonds. That include Bobby Azalea, ex-girlfriend Kim Bell. Kathy Hoskins, her brother Steve Hoskins, who also had personal relationships with one Barry Bonds. West Virginia upset number 13 Villanova 93-72. Deshaun Butler leads West Virginia with 43 points. The NBA announces its 16 finalists for the Basketball Hall of Fame, a list that includes one Michael Jordan, Dave Robinson, and John Stockton. The final announcement will come on April 6th in Detroit, Michigan, at the Final Four. Top stories: Brett Favre retires for the second straight season. It sounds like this is it. it sounds like this is it, citing just not being able to be cited, not being able to play at the level that he once was capable of playing at. He also cited physical disabilities as far as, maybe disability is too strong of a word, but, you know, had a shoulder injury which hindered him over the course of the last five, 6 weeks. And the Jets placed him on the reserved retired list. That paperwork was not filed last year in 2007. And listen, it sounds like he's done. It sounds like that. I think Brett Favre has a lot of pride. I don't think he wants to be a guy who comes back and throws, you know, has a season where he throws for 8 touchdowns and 25 interceptions. So I think that he absolutely is done. And for the Jets, hey, it was worth the risk. They took a shot. You know, what do they lose for it? A second-round pick? It was worth the risk, and now they have to certainly move forward and get another quarterback. Ex-girlfriend of second baseman, of retired second baseman, possible future Hall of Famer, Roberto Alomar, claims that Alomar has AIDS and insisted on having unprotected sex for 4 years. The case is now hinging on the fact on Alomar's HIV test. Before I go any further with this, and I'm not even going to get into the details, the gory details of the changes that she claimed that he had, you know, to his body that gave off, you know, warning signs that he possibly could have AIDS. I'm not going to get to the fact of, you know, performance issues that he had, you know, sexually claims by her. I'm not even going to get all into that. You know, if you to have unprotected sex or to have sex at all with anybody who you feel has AIDS and who you know, who you think in your mind has AIDS, it might be the dumbest thing I've ever heard of in my life. And if I was her, you don't even miss it something like this if I was her. I mean, a judge is going to absolutely laugh at this. He's suing him for $15 million. Are you kidding me? What judge is going to take this seriously? The judge is going to say, hey, so, miss, you suspected that he had AIDS, yet you still continue to have unprotected sex with this dude for 4 years. Why? Because what? He was putting you up in a place that you continue to live in, even after you guys had broken up, which he was. You see certain stories, you see certain things that happen, it just makes you, there's words that almost can't describe it. I mean, how dumb is this girl? I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, would you have protected sex with somebody who you suspected had HIV? Think about that for a second. So, you know, only in America. As far as my closing thoughts and getting back to what has been basically the theme of the program where I kicked off at with Major League Baseball, A-Rod, the steroids, the whole 9 yards. You know, Major League Baseball, let me give a memo to Major League Baseball. Stop trying to crown a golden boy. Stop trying to crown the next great home run king, seeking the next great home run king. They thought A-Rod was going to be it. They thought, they looked at the standpoint that he basically had been squeaky clean, no steroid use, supposedly, and he would break the record in New York, you know, with that uniform, bring it back to New York where Babe Ruth originally had it, and they thought everything was just going to be perfect. It was just a matter of time. And now that record, when he breaks it, that record will be tainted almost forever. Don't say anything about Albert Pujols, because Albert Pujols is that next guy. Albert Pujols is 28 years old. He currently has 319 home runs. He's still a ways away. Keep this in mind. He's still 400, about one over 400 home, 436, 437 home runs away. So, yeah, I mean, there are guys who haven't hit that many home runs in their careers. So, but don't say anything about Albert Pujols. Don't crown Albert Pujols in the next squeaky clean player. Don't say anything. If he breaks it, and brings integrity back to that record, then so be it. But this is if you're Major League Baseball, don't say a word. St. Louis fans, don't say anything. Because I wouldn't be surprised if Albert Pujols came out positive on a drug steroid test. And nothing shocks me anymore. And it's a sad state of affairs in Major League Baseball when Jose Canseco is, you know, the voice of, has probably now more credibility than almost anybody. is the voice of reason. It was Canseco, and listen, you can say all you want. You can say all you want about him wanting to sell books, which is true, about him wanting to, you know, expose other players, which is true. But he was right. Palmeiro, you know, Palmeiro, A-Rod, McGuire, Sosa, Canseco was right. The whole time he was right. So how can you, I mean, how can you knock this guy for coming out with the facts? It's not like he's jealous of these players. Canseco was, at one point in time, Jose Canseco was the best player in baseball. He made a ton of money. You know, he came out and said, I use steroids. I'm not making him out to be a saint, because he didn't come out and say it. At the time he was using it, he didn't come out and say it. But when his career was over, he came out and said, man, to use his steroids. Wrote a book on it, the whole 9 yards. So, I'm not going to give him credit, but let's not ignore that fact that he did come up with something. He did call these guys out, and it now came to fruition that these guys were using steroids. So that's something that has to be mentioned. And as far as, I mean, and to me, the biggest shot that I'm going to take, you want to knock Major League Baseball for turning a blind eye for 22 years. Major League Baseball had a drug test policy issue back in 1971. Okay, when Bowie Kuhn was the commissioner. All right, they went along with both federal and state laws, which banned anabolic steroids unless used with a prescription. Okay, baseball ignored that for 22 years and turned a blind eye to it. They sacrificed. They basically sold their souls to the devil for money, for the fame, for packed stadiums. And they will never, the integrity of baseball will never be restored. It will always be tainted because there will always be questions on who's juicing, who's not juicing. If a guy hits 65 home runs, is he on steroids, is he not on steroids? That question will always remain. But to me, even bigger, and I didn't expect Major League Baseball to police themselves or to turn themselves in. That's like asking Al Capone during the Prohibition period in the 20s, to turn himself in for making millions of dollars off bootlegging. It really wasn't going to happen. But the media, you know, where was Selena Roberts and Dave Epstein's of the world back in 1971? Or excuse me, back in 1998, when McGuire, Sosa, and to a lesser extent, Ken Griffey Jr. was chasing Henry Aaron's record. Where were they at? And it wasn't until Barry Bonds, who they can't stand, who they hate, it wasn't until he started breaking records or started challenging records that they started caring, that they started actually caring about the integrity of baseball. And I'm pointing at the baseball writers. I'm pointing at guys, you know, the Bill Madden's of the world. I'm pointing at guys, Peter Gammons, these baseball beat writers all over the country who have been writing for 40 years. You, I'm pointing at you for not exposing this, you know, back in 98 or back in 1998. You heard a smidgen of it in 1998 with the Andro bottle that was found in Mark McGuire's locker room. So to me, they have as much, they have no reason to try to hide. Why? As a Major League Baseball writer, your job is to report the news, and report the major, the big stories. Just like Selena Roberts walked into A-Rod's weight room, or the University of Miami weight room to get questions from A-Rod, that is reported. Exposing the story is reported. So to me, the indictment, I have a bigger problem with the media almost as much as I have a bigger problem with Major League Baseball in terms of not exposing this. This is something that, listen, people, this is something that's not going away. These names are going to drop, and they're going to drop fast. Believe me. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Enjoy your upcoming week. We will be back next week with another profile and certainly another profile in Black history. Also discuss top stories and who knows, maybe something else breaks from these steroid case. Also, there should be the trading deadline will be up next Thursday, the 19th. So certainly there will be some talk about that. You know, will Amari Stoudemire get traded? Where will Amari Stoudemire end up? Pittsburgh, Connecticut play on Monday night. We'll talk about that. So there'll certainly be a lot to do on next week's Saturday morning wake-up call. I will see you next week. I will see you next week at the same time and the same place. This program was dedicated to the memory of one Chris Kim. May he rest in peace, and certainly all prayers and condolences go out to his family. On that note, I will see you next week, and happy Valentine's Day to all. So long.